Mike, with, given the circumstances of yesterday's game with Kirk starting for Robert, I wanted to ask you about the game plan and the play calling as the game went along, especially after the slow start. Was it a matter of realizing what the Browns were doing and countering it, or was there something more to how what that accounted for the offense's success, especially in the second half?
Well, you always have a game plan going in, and there's always adjustments made, you know, throughout the game. But we thought Cleveland would come out with what they did. They've been pretty consistent all year with what they've done defensively, especially after the last four or five games. They've had a lot of success and played extremely well. And, you know, they continue to play well. They're not very complicated, but what they do very, very well. Players play hard.
Mike, do you have an update on Will Montgomery's injury and Tyler Palumbis's injury?
Yeah, Tyler had a concussion. You know, we'll go through the protocol with concussions like we normally have. Will's an MCL. We'll talk more about that in detail on Wednesday.
Mike, what's your expectation for Robert this week and in the quarterback situation?
I kind of talked about it briefly at the end of the game. You know, Robert will be evaluated day by day. You know, he's getting a lot of treatment. He looks good, as I think a lot of people saw him before the game. Got treatment today, so hopefully it's not too long where the doctors okay him and he's ready to practice full speed.
With Will, has he had another MRI, and did it show? Is it? What grade of sprain is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about it on Wednesday.
You'll talk about what grade of sprain it is?
Uh-huh. On Wednesday, yeah.
I'm going back to the game plan with Kirk. Obviously, the run game sets up that play action, the bootleg and all that. What did Kirk do well that impressed you as far as his handling of those plays and the play action, the bootlegs?
Well, we've been doing this, you know, since Kirk has come in, you know, through the OTAs, through summer camp, you know, putting our offensive system in, and he's really handled everything well. You know, the drop back, the play action, you know, the keep game, the play pass, and I thought he really stepped up and played extremely well with a lot of poise during the game. You know, ran the keeps well. I think we ran 11 keeps during the game, and we ran a number of play passes, and I thought he did a good job of executing the offense.
Mike, is Will's MCL torn?
Like I said, we'll talk more about Will on Wednesday.
The six or so plays.
Somebody want to talk about Will's knee again?
Can you talk about Will's knee? The six or so plays that Lucas Tiger was in at center, can you get anything out of that? I mean, he said a little bit before he was a little bit rusty because he hasn't done it in so many years, but can you evaluate anything off of just six plays at that point?
We know Corey can play the center position. Chris Chester can play the center position. Larebus and Geddes can both play the center position. So when you play the guard position, you switch off at center. Some play better than others. But when you do have depth, you try to have guys know that responsibility, because when you dress seven linemen for a game, usually that guy that plays guard has to play center if somebody goes down or somebody's got to move over to that position. Same thing at the tackle position. You want that tackle not only to be able to play tackle right and left, but hopefully play the guard position as well. So you're trying to change guys up all the time. So if there is a problem, you know, you can adjust to it.
You've talked about continuity and those five linemen working together well. How do you expect those guys to be able to pull in if you have to plug them in? And has it helped that in the preseason you had to do so much shuffling?
Well, we've got a little bit more depth. You know, we've got a few guys in our draft choices that have been working extremely hard. They understand our offense. If put in, if they need to play, I think they'll do an excellent job. Just getting used to the system, the terminology, practicing every day, going through the OTAs and summer camps. Obviously, like to keep that continuity intact if we can. And we'll just have to wait and see.
Mike, on Robert again, do you expect him to have a full practice on Wednesday? And have the doctors given you any indication if there's an increased chance of him being able to play this week?
No, like I said, it's day by day. You know, they're going to look at him every day, see his improvement. And when they feel like that LCL is ready to go and he can play, they'll let me know, and then I'll announce it to you guys.
Mike, in regards to the running game for Alfred and back in your history, back to Terrell Davis, Olandis Gary, what is it about the blocking scheme and the kind of offensive lineman you're looking for in that scheme that makes it so successful?
What you normally do with the zone blocking scheme is you get people running from maybe the hash mark all the way to the sideline. And then if you see a crease inside, a running back, he hits it downhill running. And sometimes it can go all the way to the outside. Sometimes it starts outside, it goes back quickly. We feel if one person's a little bit slow or doesn't stay in that inner gap, we have a chance to hit a crease. Try never to lose yardage, to always get 3, 4, 5 yards. But if somebody gets tired, especially as the game goes on, you're able to get some big plays. So the defense has to, you know, have their gap integrity all the time, or are you able to hit some creases on them.
Mike, Josh Morgan's 11 yards away from 500. Mm-hmm. Pierre's 2 yards away. You've got two guys over 500 receiving yards. Can you just talk about, I guess, the versatility that you have, not only the great blocking, but the versatility between four different guys that can all, you know, step up and make big plays on any given day on any series?
Well, I think that's what we're more interested in, is guys that can step up and play at a very high level. The guys you just mentioned are all playing at a very high level. They can all make plays after the catch, I mean, make yards after the catch. They all take a lot of pride in blocking. They're all into the game. They're playing at a very high level. So every time they catch the ball, they expect to go the distance, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for playmakers, guys that believe in themselves, that once they have the ball in their hands, they have the ability to break tackles and get the ball in the end zone. And to have that consistent running game we've talked about day one is take as much pride in blocking for a guy like Alford or whoever it may be for the big plays.
Mike, last year with the injuries up front on the offensive line, you had to really tap into the depth that I think you guys tried to fortify even more in the offseason. How important has it been for the offense this year to be able to keep playing those same five guys all the time and not necessarily have to tap into that?
Well, I think that's what everybody's trying to do at every position, but it doesn't always work out that way. In some positions, you'll have a lot of injuries, and as we went through at the safety position, or it could be the outside linebacker position, could be the offensive line position. Whatever it is, guys have got to step up and play at a very high level, and we expect them to do that.
Mike, going back to the wide receivers with Pierre, were you disappointed by some of the, non-calls, especially on that defensive pass interference, maybe the taunting on Pierre yesterday? And also, how do you, control his emotions so he doesn't do the ball spin thing, get a 15-yard penalty, yet keep him playing at the level that he's playing at?
Well, first of all, the ball spin thing is legal. I mean, he's done it every time that he's caught a pass this year. But you got to be careful of when you spin it and there's some other player there that you turn away from him, because you don't want it to be misinterpreted as you're trying to taunt somebody else. So if you do it, make sure you get away from any player. That's rule number one. And, it was just like when Josh got hit on the 5-yard line, was trying to take it in the end zone, got a nice shot by the safety, and he got not knocked back. You know, the one thing you got to be careful of, if somebody comes over and taunts you, and then you get up, that you keep your poise, you got to put in the official's hands to call it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But Josh got a little mad at that point because the guy came over to him. And as I tell our players, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. You have to walk away from those situations because nobody can get a 15-yard penalty and put our team in bad position, regardless of what the officials do.
Hey, I was wondering if you could just kind of give us a feel for what Corey Lichtensteiger has gone through this year from your perspective and just the type of season he's had coming off the knee injuries that he had.
Well, it's pretty tough when a guy comes off a knee injury on the offensive line and, is asked to do the things that he's been asked to do because, starting in training camp, didn't get a lot of reps. We want to make sure he was healthy for the regular season. And he's done everything that we've asked him to do. He's played at a very high level. You know, he's very competitive. He does everything that we ask him to do, both in the running game and the passing game. You know, he's a perfectionist, even though perfection doesn't always occur in the National Football League, especially in the offensive line. You know, he's given all his effort that he can possibly do to make sure that he plays at a very high level, and that's what you have to have on the offensive line. Five guys like that, you know, all on the same page.
Mike, because of Cousins' success, would you consider resting Robert for another week even if the doctors gave their okay?
Now, if the doctors give his okay, he's going to play. You know, that's what we get paid for. That's what these guys do. When you get guys like London Fletcher and Trent Williams, and a lot of guys are hobbled right now, and we expect everybody to play if the doctor's okay.
I guess just to follow up on that, would maybe if you hadn't contemplated that before, just to get Robert completely healthy for a hopefully a playoff run for you guys, is that something that, that maybe would be more likely now because of how Kirk performed?
Now we're gonna play Robert when he's 100%. When that ligament's fine, and the doctors feel that there's no chance for injury, that he can go out there and perform at the level in a game situation without injury, we're going to go with our starter.
Mike, when you guys originally saw Corey back in Denver, what was it about him that stuck out to you?
Just what I see right now, a guy that's a fierce competitor. It didn't matter if he played center or the guard position. He dominated everybody he played. He had that mindset that every game that he played, it looked like a playoff game. And even though he's a little undersized, we thought at that time he would be a perfect fit for the zone scheme, and he has been.
When he comes from a smaller school like that, how much extrapolation do you guys have to do as well, given the level of competition that he's presumably not going to face?
Well, that's what you have to, you know, what you have to evaluate is the competition that he's playing at, and that's why you sit down, you talk to him, you see his strength, you know, how his work ethic, how important football is to him, and then you make a decision. And this was a lot of players, you know, at smaller schools.
Mike, what did you think of Evan Royster's game yesterday?
I thought Evan did a good job. When he came in, he was ready to play, and we're asking Evan, you know, do a lot of things with the nickel and our base scheme, and I thought when Alfred got tired and Evan went in, he did a heck of a job.
What do you think about Rob Jackson, just the way that he continues to make progress? Seems like the last 3 weeks he's really come on.
Yeah, you're looking for guys that can make plays, and that's what Rob's been able to do, make plays and put some pressure on the quarterback, get some sacks, cause some fumbles, and seems to get better and better every game.
It's just a matter of continuity and comfort level as he continued to kind of learn on the fly, you think?
Yeah, I think he's playing with a lot more confidence. I think he understands the system more and more every day. He's getting a better feel, I think, relative to nickel defenses, dime defenses, what his role is, what his responsibility is with different packages. Just a lot more comfortable with everything.
Mike, you guys just won a game on the road with a backup quarterback. You've now won five games in a row. You've never experienced this type of success here in Washington. What has this been like for you personally the last few weeks after struggling so much the first couple of years?
Well, like I told you, the first couple of years, I understood we were going to struggle the first couple of years. I mean, we didn't have the football team. And it was, you know, getting the right guys on the football team where we felt like we could make a run. And one of the reasons why I told our football team at the beginning of the year that you guys don't know it, but you guys are a lot better than you think you are. And, you know, they've obviously is proving that now. We lost a number of games that we should have won early, three that I can see specifically. And all of a sudden, we start playing our best football in the second half of the season. We got a lot of character. We got a lot of guys going in the right direction, guys competing every play. And when you do have that, then you start to turn. And I think that's what our football team has done. You know, they believe in each other. Every game we go into now, we believe that we'll win. And that's got to be your mindset. And once you start winning those close games, you expect it.
Mike, when you and Jim came here and you wanted to go 3-4, one of the things you guys stressed constantly was turnovers. And with two more yesterday and 14 points off of it, I think you're at 96, top 7 or 8 in the league. Can you just talk about, I guess, how you guys envisioned the 3-4 generating those turnovers and finally come to fruition, even with some of the struggles you've had earlier this year?
Well, the one thing you want to do is if you can win the turnover battle, just turnover battle, you're going to be a good football team. And people ask me, was that a little surprise, I think yesterday at my press conference, when you're, you know, 3-6 and, you know, why do you think that you could get better? Well, the first thing is turnovers. If you can win that turnover battle, good things are going to happen. You know, we're first in the NFL or tied for the first in the NFL on offense with the least amount of turnovers, and I think defensively we're ninth. And so when you put those two together, and you're in the top five, good things usually happen. But you got to do that consistently throughout the season, and you got to do it in the postseason as well. The people that are in the postseason, the people that usually win the Super Bowl or get a chance to advance, are always the top turnover ratio at the end of the year. So you got to do those consistently to have a great year, to end up where you want to end up, and hopefully we can keep on doing that.
Mike, is the team offering any assistance or involved in any way regarding Lyndon Fletcher's family issue back in Cleveland?
You know, I talked to Lyndon about that for a little while this morning, and I'll let Lyndon share that with you rather than me talk about it.